الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واذكر ربك إذا نسيت وقل عسى أن يهديني ربي لأقرب من هذا رشدا فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من صلى علي واحدة صلى الله عليه به عشرا أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم صدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My respected elders, ulama, brothers in Islam, today is the Mubarak and blessed day of Jumu'ah, and one special action of the day of Jumu'ah is the recital of durood and salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, we are all reciting it, but just as a reminder for us that we don't forget and we keep encouraging ourselves, our family members, and we try to increase our recital of durood and salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The favors of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us are very, very great. We can never ever repay Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for what he has done for us. So as a token of appreciation, to show, like how we say normally, Jazakallah, I appreciate it. So this durood and salawat is actually a token of appreciation, and we are thanking Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his ihsanat and favors upon us. That is why daily we should take out some time and recite salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And ulama say on the day of Jumu'ah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Akthiru, that your salawat is presented to me on the day of Jumu'ah especially. Every day it's presented, but it's a special presentation on the day of Jumu'ah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Fa'akthiru, read abundance of durood upon me, because your salawat comes to you. Sahaba radiallahu anhu asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even after you pass away. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even if after I pass away, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it haram for the earth to eat up the bodies of the Anbiya alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَنَبِيُّ اللَّهِ حَيٌّ يُرْزَقُ. The Nabi of Allah is alive and he's given rosy and sustenance in his grave. He is being sustained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, recite abundance of durood. One narration it comes, a person will recite durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will be a light for a person on the sirat, on the bridge over Jahannam. As-salatu alayya nurun. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever reads salawat upon me on the day of Jumu'ah 80 times, then 80 years of his sins are forgiven. So if a person reads 80 times on the day of Jumu'ah, 80 years of sins are forgiven. Another narration mentions, whoever will read 100 times on the day of Jumu'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill 100 of its needs, 30 of this world and 70 regarding the year after. Another narration mentions a person, our elders encourage us that it comes in a hadith, read abundance of durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They say abundance means minimum 300 times. So we should try to recite 300 times. Many of our elders used to encourage people at least daily read 300 times. If we are weak, we cannot recite so much, but at least try to come onto that level of 300 daily. And then some ulama say that Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masood radiallahu anhu used to encourage his student 1,000 times to recite durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Jumu'ah. I sample durood, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin Nabil Ummi, or anyone sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he used to encourage this. There was a person by the name of Khalad ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi. He passed away, and under the pillow he found one paper written there, Hadhi bara'atun min an-nar, that this is a certificate and guarantee that Khalad has been saved from the fire of Jahannam. So people ask his wife, what action did your husband do? So every Friday it was his habit to recite 1,000 times salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in this world already Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him his barat and freedom from the fire of Jahannam. Hazrat Haji Farooq sahab rahmatullahi, a very great wali of Allah, used to come to our country on a couple of occasions. So he mentioned that there was one pious person. It was his habit to recite 1,000 salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every Jumu'ah. So once he became very ill, and the family members were around him and they were crying and frightened he'll be leaving this world. So he told them that, you know, it's my habit to recite 1,000 times salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Jumu'ah. And we have heard from our elders that whoever will recite 1,000 times durood is their experience, a person will not leave this world until he sees his place in Jannah. So I haven't seen my place in Jannah, and I've got full conviction what our elders have mentioned to us. So Abad, he was very sick, but he came right again. And after some time, he called his family members together and he said, you know what, that I think my time for demise is very close. Last night I had a dream, and in a dream I saw my place in Jannah. And after a few days he passed away. So Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Every Jumu'ah, ourselves we recite and we try to encourage our family members, our friends, whoever we meet, encourage them to recite salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such a simple action, but the benefits are extremely great. Many pious people, most likely it was Hazrat Mawlana Masoolah rahmatullah alayhi, what a great wali of Allah he was, what a khidmat of deen he had done. After he passed away, someone asked him that how did Allah Ta'ala, what happened to you there? He said, through the barakat of durood and salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all my work got done. There are many, many other incidents of this year. So really the salawat and durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a very great amal. Obviously it doesn't mean now a person only recites durood and says, I've got so much of love. But he doesn't bring the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into his life. That's also the other extreme. But definitely just by reciting salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is created in our hearts. And automatically the love of sunnah will come into a person's life. And he will be building up his relationship with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah grant myself and all of us tawfiq to make amal. Today also is the day of Jumu'ah. Another special action on the day of Jumu'ah to be recited is Surah Kaf. We should try to recite it every week. And today everyone is complaining and saying there are so many fitnas around us, so many evils around us. 50 years ago, 30 years ago, there wasn't so much of evils. And people who have got concern for the iman, they are worried. What will happen to myself? What will happen to my children? So our solutions are in our deen. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to us, right till Qiyamah, all the fitnas which will be coming, and all the solutions are mentioned to us. So we are encouraged on the day of Jumu'ah to recite Surah Kaf. And the subject matter in Surah Kaf, where Allah ta'ala mentions one incident of the people of the cave. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter mentions the solutions to the problems facing the ummah. That how can a person in times of fitna and corruption save himself? So five principles are mentioned, very simple principles. May Allah give myself and all of us tawfiq to make amal. And it's very simple, nothing difficult at all. Our deen is easy, deenu yusrun. Our deen is very easy and the solutions to our deen also is very simple. So anyhow, we should try to recite this Surah Kaf every Friday, encourage our family at home also. In the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that inna ja'alna ma'ar al-awdi zinatan laha linabluwahum ayyuhum ahsanu amala. That we have come in this world, but remember this world is an examination hall. Do not become deceived by the examination hall. The person is sitting in an exam hall and he's got a very smart exam paper. So he's looking at the designs, he's taking his color pencils and he's putting more designs inside there. And now he's looking at his watch and his cell phone, his father gave him a new one, he's sitting and playing with that in the exam hall. So obviously he's enjoying himself and he's looking at his friends. Look at my friends, they're studying so hard, I can see the perspiration coming out. He's so stupid, look how I'm enjoying myself. I'm sitting with my cell phone, I'm playing games here. But he's a foolish person. He'll enjoy himself for those 3 hours, but at the end of the 3 hours, he has failed his examination. So Allah Ta'ala said, we have sent you in this world. Inna ja'alna ma'al al-ardi zinatillah. We have made things very, very beautiful in this world. But the object of making this beauty is to test people. To see whose hearts will be inclined towards this world and whose hearts will be inclined towards the akhirat, the life of the year after. So we are living through an examination hall. After the exam is finished, 2 days ago you were prepared to pay 100,000 rand to get the exam paper. You bribe somebody, pay him so much of money. But the minute the examination is finished, what will happen? Your paper is given back to you, you will take it, squash it up and throw it in the dustbin. It's got no value now. It's come to an end. So similarly, this life, this worldly life is very, very beautiful outside. Very beautiful. But Allah Ta'ala says it's an examination. لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَإِنَّا لَجَاعِلُونَ مَا عَلَيَا سُعِيدًا جُرُوزًا. After the exam, we're going to destroy the whole world. It's got no value in our sight. So don't make this world the object of your life. You are passing through a phase, in a very short phase, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, and no one has got guarantee also, 20 years, how many youngsters pass away. So you are going through an examination. Look to yourself and see, are you passing your examination or are you failing your examination? An intelligent person is he who prepares for an examination and he passes, and then after that there is enjoyment for that person forever and forever. As our Buzrugs mentioned very beautifully, they say in freedom there is restriction. And in restriction there is freedom. What they mean by this is the youngster is restricted. He's studying hard for his examination, he's sitting in the house, he's not wasting his time. So at the end of the year he's free now. He's passed his examination, he's free. But another man who lived a free life, at the end of the year he fails the examination, he comes back to restriction, he has to repeat the year again. So in this world, in this dunya, if you are living, and we understand it's our examination hall, and a person lives a restricted life, after that there is freedom for a person. And on the other hand, a person who lives a very free life, there will be restriction for him in the qabr, on the day of qiyamah, and even in this world, the problems a person goes through. So may Allah give us first the reality to understand that we are living through an examination. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the examination is not difficult at all. If a person is firm and steadfast, Allah Ta'ala's help and assistance will come to him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the story of the cave. There were seven youngsters, and Allah says, fitya, they were youngsters. Because the effort of the enemy is generally against the youngsters. Because the youngsters are the ones whose heart can change very easily. So Allah says they were youngsters, and they had this desire within themselves. They were living in an environment of a lot of evil. For example, there was music, there was, in today's time, what we can say, they were having their festivals, Christmas, New Year's, Easter, they were having their sports tournaments, whether it was the Olympics in that time, or the World Cup soccer tournament, or there was a cricket World Cup, or there was some comrades marathon taking place. All of these were the things the people of batil and falsehood were propagating, promoting, and they were putting all the people there, men, women, all joined together, music, all of these evils. Music, there will be wine, there will be alcohol, all of these things. And they encouraged these youngsters to come, but they were steadfast that no, we are the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not prepared to go in this environment. The king of the time called them now, and the king was prepared to kill them. So they said, give us some time. He said, you must go back to our, come to our religion, the religion of atheism, the religion of following your desires, of Satanism. This is the religion we want to spread in the whole world, in our whole country. So these youngsters, they were said, no, but we are not prepared to do this. They asked the king for some time. The king gave them some time. And eventually they go back and they make mashura amongst themselves. We are not prepared to live this life of the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This life is very short. And we have to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day. What answer we will give? So they decided to run away, to go to a cave and to hide themselves there. The story is very famous. Anyhow, they go to the cave and they remain in this cave. And for quite a while they stay there. 300 years Allah ta'ala made them sleep. Allah ta'ala looked after them. And Allah ta'ala used one dog also to protect them. The dog is napak, is an impure animal. But Allah ta'ala used a dog to protect them also. And after 300 years they woke up and Allah ta'ala had changed the whole system. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this incident. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks a question. Do you think that this is amongst the amazing signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's nothing amazing. There's nothing difficult at all for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect these youngsters. So any person in this world also who wants to save himself from evil, no matter how much of evil is around a person, but if he's got yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will protect him. If Switzerland can make a watch which is waterproof, that you can put it 200 meters under the ground in the water, and nothing will happen to that, not one vapor will go inside. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make a person's heart fitna proof. Proof safe from all kinds of fitnas around him, no matter what around him environment is there, but Allah ta'ala can protect him. So after mentioning this Ashab al-Kahf, the incident of the cave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned certain principles. And ulama, they have said it's 8 principles, but to make it easier, we'll say 5 principles, we'll join some of them together. How can a person save himself from all kinds of fitnas? And this is for that person who's got fear and concern for his iman, that I must leave this world with the safety of my iman. And my iman is the most valuable thing. So the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْنِ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Whenever you are speaking, always attribute everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today the whole world is, whether it's the constitutions of the world, Allah ta'ala's name has been taken out. 100 years ago, every constitution had in the name of God. Today South Africa was the first country in the world to remove the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the constitution. So throughout the world, in educational systems, today in school, Darwin's theory of evolution is taught as fact. And we should be very careful. Our children, many of them are going to school. We do not even know what they are learning in school. There was one youngster, I spoke to him, prepared one kitab on atheism. So I gave it to him to check it up. He was a university youngster. So he wrote me an answer. And in the answer he wrote there, Murana, you wrote here that a person can't be a Muslim if he believes in Darwin's theory of evolution, that we came from a monkey. So I called him and I spoke to him. He was a sincere youngster. He was studying in university, he was in medicine fourth year. So he told me, I told him, yes, definitely. Evolution is completely against Islamic teaching. Our belief is Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was the first human being who came on the surface of the earth. And Allah ta'ala is the creator of human beings. So he said, no, I mean, I thought this was a fact that we came from a monkey. So I said, then what about Adam al-Islam? You believe in Adam al-Islam? He said, I believe in Adam al-Islam, but I thought there was evolution and eventually the monkey came into Adam al-Islam. So I was shocked. He went to a madrasa, or a normal madrasa system also. He qualified as a hafiz of Quran also. I told him, by your belief is kufr. You people are reading salat behind you, namaz is not accepted. So he said, Maulana, I think all my friends, we got a similar belief in our varsity. So how it's brainwashing to a person? The Big Bang theory, the world just came into existence, there was a Big Bang. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created the earth. It's our basic beliefs, and these are being attacked nowadays. In Johannesburg, in one area, 15 youngsters, they became murtad. They left the fold of Islam in one area. The Maulana went to speak to them, they said, Maulana, we don't want to speak to anybody. This is our belief now.
May Allah protect and save us. Save our youngsters. We have to be very careful what our youngsters studying in schools, the environments they are going to. Because today, open kufr is being propagated. It's put into a person's mind over and over. A person is losing his iman. Those parents, the Mulana went to visit them. Parents were crying. They said, we send our children to school, to madrasa also. But look at what beliefs they've got. They've left the fold of Islam. So Allah protect and save us. So the first thing is, whatever we say, always attribute to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bring it in our thanks. Allah is the creator. Allah made this. Insha'Allah, masha'Allah. Attribute everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so the ulama say, they don't even say it was a coincidence. It happened by chance. Nothing happens in the world by chance. Everything happens by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't say, by chance it happened. Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi, one day somebody told him by chance. He said he got like a heart attack. He got so upset. He said, these are words of kufr. Disbelief. Because how can you say by chance? Nature, look at nature. It's not nothing in nature. Look at the qudrat and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We shouldn't use these words also. We should try to make ourselves Allah conscious. That every word of ours, everything we say, attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah grant myself tawfiq and ability. So this is the first way to save a person's iman, to keep speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتَ. Daily take out some time to make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The dhikr of Allah ta'ala is spiritual food for a person. Just like how our bodies need physical food, and a person becomes strong the minute he stops eating food. Even though 10 years he ate food, but 2 days he doesn't eat food, he will feel weakness. You are making dhikr of Allah ta'ala every day for 10 years, but 2 days you leave your dhikr, but immediately you will find there will be some weakness in a person's spiritual condition. Many people say, I can't control my eyes, I can't control my anger, I every night I go on this porn sites, and I can't control myself, I know it's wrong. One of the main reasons you ask the person, are you making dhikr of Allah ta'ala? He says, hey, I stopped making my dhikr 1 week ago, 2 weeks ago. That's a problem. Because of the weakness of your zikr, that is why now you can't control yourself. You haven't got the spiritual strength within yourself to control yourself from evil. So the second thing is to make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and included in there is, وَقُلْ عَسَىٰ أَيَّهَدِيَنِي رَبِّي لِأَقْرَبَ مِنْ هَذَا رَشَدًا. To make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Daily to take out some time, whether it's 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, but some time to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person is making dua, he's humbling himself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really loves it. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whatever you want to. Allah ta'ala is prepared to give a person. Sometimes Allah gives you what you want, and sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you something far better. What you ask for, Allah ta'ala grants you something far, far greater than that. So we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One person, he was making dua one day, making tawaf of Kaaba Sharif, and suddenly he fainted. He was extremely hot. He was a dehat person, village dweller. And suddenly he woke up and he sees himself in a hospital. First time in his life in a hospital. He looks very smart now because the hospital compared to where he came from, the villages. And he was making dua before he fell down, Ya Allah, get me married to the hurs of Jannat. So when he woke up, he opened his eyes, he sees, hey, what a smart place I am in. So he said, I am in Jannat now. And then suddenly he turned around, he's looking at, and all the smell in the hospital is not nice, but compared to his smell, it was much better. So he was like very amazed. And then suddenly he's saying, Al-Jannat al-Haq, Jannat is a reality. He was so excited. And then suddenly he sees 5 nurses came to him, Filipino nurses with fair complexion. He said, Al-Hur, Al-Hur. These are the hurs of Jannat. My dua got accepted immediately. So anyhow, he wanted to jump out of the bed. He sees all things on him. He's pulling them out to go for them. So they all ran forward to put him down. But he was not well. So he said, no, one at a time, one at a time. I don't want all the hurs all the time, all of them once. So anyhow, when a person makes dua, sometimes you may just see the dua coming immediately. A person, Allah Ta'ala accepts it, gives him something better than that also. So dua. One is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dua. And included in there also Allah mentions, وَتْلُ مَا أُوحِي لَيْكَ مِنْ كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ. Make tilawat of Quran Sharif. Every day take out some time to make tilawat of Quran Sharif. This also gives spiritual strength to a person. And whatever poisons are around us, there are many poisons. The media is a poison. The literature what a person is reading. Whatever, there are many things that the billboards around us, the environments we are, they are all poisonous for the spiritual self of a person. So take out some time to make tilawat of Quran Sharif. Ulama say the minimum we should read tilawat of Quran Sharif is at least 5 or 6 pages a day. So in 1 year we can make 1 khatam of Quran Sharif. And in the month of Ramadan another 1 khatam. So at least 2 khatams of the Quran Sharif. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says this is the bare minimum of the right of the Quran. Bare minimum. But otherwise our elders encourage us at least 1 para a day. And not difficult at all. There was one person living here in Farala most likely, in Tongat. Every day he used to come to the masjid a few minutes earlier. Fajr time, he'll read his quarter para. If he missed out anything after Fajr, 2-3 pages he'll recite. Before Zohar come a few minutes earlier, again another quarter. Asr time another quarter, Maghrib time another quarter. In this way he used to finish one para every day. And a few minutes, nothing difficult also, a few minutes extra coming to the early to the masjid or sit after the salat. And if he missed out anything during the day for some work or whatever, after Isha salat he would finish his para. In 29 days or 30 days he would make one khatam of Quran Sharif. Today is the first of the month, first para. Second of the month, second para. If there are 29 days for that month, Amma is easy, he'll read two paras in that day and he cover his. So in a very simple way he used to make tilawat of Quran Sharif. Allah give myself and all of us. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told him, soon there will be many, many fitnas and trials and tribulations. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, Mal makhraj, what is the way out? So Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, Kitabullah, it is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will help a person to be saved from many, many evils. So Allah give us tawfiq. So the first one was to attribute everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, to make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dua and tilawat of Quran Sharif. Third thing, which Allah ta'ala says, Wasbir nafsaka, وَلَبِثُوا فِيكَ حَفِيمْ ثَلَاثَ مِئَةٍ سِنِينَ وَازْدَادُ تِسْعَةٍ. To read the stories and the biographies of the pious people of the past. This gives a great encouragement to a person. Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi says, this is the army of the armies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It helps a person, it builds up a person's iman. We've got the stories of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, of our pious predecessors. There are so many books. Whatever books a person reads, he wants to become like that person. Many years ago in England, they had a survey. Who is your hero? And from the whole school, it was a Muslim school of 100 students. Only two or three of them said Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 97 said, the soccer player, this is my hero, this is my role model of life. One singer, one cricket star, whatever, somebody else. Whereas we got the greatest model, the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when we read these stories in our homes, inshallah this will create the jazba and desire within our children, within ourselves also, to follow those people. So the number three is to recite the books of our elders and their life stories. When you read this, inshallah, it has a very great effect upon a person's iman. The fourth thing which the Quran Sharif mentions is wasbir nafsaka ma'alladhina, see your sohbat and your company. Ar-rajulu ala deeni khalili, a person is on the deen of his friends. Be careful and see exactly who your friends are. If you're a pious person and you keep in the company of evil people, automatically you'll start becoming evil. And if a person is evil and he stays in the company of the righteous and the pious, automatically good qualities will come into a person. Sohbat has a very great effect upon a person. In this ayat of the Quran, Allah says, Wasbir, it might be difficult, make sabr. Keep yourself binded by the people of piety. Those people whose object of life is the akhirat, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stay in their company. وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنُمْ. Do not turn your eyes away from them. تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Do you desire the world, the enjoyments of this worldly life? That is why you're running to other people. وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَخْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ. And on the other hand, Allah mentions that those people whose hearts are unmindful of our dhikr, who turn you away from the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, don't ever follow them. Don't stay in their company and sohbat. This will have a detrimental effect upon a person. And in today's time, one of the greatest harms is the television, which is unfortunately in the house of every person. And the sohbat and the effect it has, they say a youngster, by the time he reaches the age of 18 or 20, he's already seen 200,000 scenes of crime. Over 100,000 scenes of immoral behavior and activity. So automatically this will come into his heart. And how many cases there are of people who saw these things and the desire came, I must be like this here. There are many people, who are pious people, are only watch sport, but they see the man drinking that wine. He says, Morana, I got a problem. I just get the desire is coming within myself. I must drink that wine. I know it's haram. I learned it when I was small. But I'm just seeing how that person is enjoying himself. I also want to drink this wine. So a person's company is of great importance. Once there was a very great alim in Syria, about 40 years ago, he had a dream. And in the dream he said, I saw that a Jew is entering the house of every Muslim. He told his friend. His friend said, no, don't worry man. Where the Jews are going to enter the Muslim houses? 1 week later he was walking in the streets of Syria and he see they are selling television screens, televisions. He said, this is the interpretation of my dream, that we have brought Jews into our houses. The Jewish lifestyle, the Jewish way, may Allah protect and save us. And the greatest gift a person can give to his family is to get rid of the television. Really, this is a mujahada and a sacrifice of the time to get ourselves rid of that. And today the enemies have made such effort that unfortunately on our phones, and how many people are getting involved in guna, marriages are breaking off because of this. A person can't control himself. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Stay in the company of the pious and the righteous, and all evil company, whether it's your phone also, which is evil company, or the television, or whatever these things are, and evil company, stay far away from that there. Evil books, magazines, we are reading these things, they have an effect upon a person. And the last thing which the Quran Sharif mentions is to think about akhirat, to speak about Jannat and Jahannam. Really, we are living in a world Everything around us is calling us towards dunya. So we forget our life of akhirat. Do we have ta'alim in our homes? When we mention of the pious people, stories of the pious, and story about Jannat and Jahannam, even if 10 minutes a day we have ta'alim at home, 10, 15 minutes a day, read about the pious people, Fazail of Salat, Fazail of Sadaqat. They say this kitab, Fazail of Sadaqat, when a person will read it with sincerity, the love of dunya will come out of his heart. And today the two biggest fitnas, love of dunya, love of woman. Fattakud dunya wa takun nisa. The Prophet said, beware of the dunya and beware of woman. These are the things which will take a person away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will destroy a person's life of this world also. Way and where people land up, may Allah protect and save us. So these five simple things in the beginning we mentioned about salawat and durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we should try to recite in great abundance on the day of Jumu'ah. Number one, and number 10, we spoke about Surah Kahf and the lesson of Surah Kahf and five important principles which they have mentioned there for a person to save himself from all kinds of fitnas. And this is for those people who have got fikr and concern for their iman, that they want to look after their iman. Number one, attribute everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bring Allah ta'ala into our lives, in our speech. Insha'Allah, masha'Allah, alhamdulillah, all the time. Our du'as, etc. We should, and speak in our children also, encourage them. Not, I went to the shop, Allah ta'ala took me. Bring this into our tongues. Number two, to make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala included in the istilawat of Quran Sharif, and to make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, to recite stories and incidents of the people, the pious people, our pious elders, predecessors. This inshallah creates imani fervor within a person. Number four, to be very careful of a person's company. Stay in the company of the righteous and the pious, and stay away from the company of the impious, the wrongdoers, because this has a great effect upon a person. And number five, Quran Sharif mentions that a person must speak and desire, speak about Jannat and Jahannam. Keep reading about these things, even if it's a few minutes every day. Speak about death. Inshallah, this will remind a person what the object of his life is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant myself and all of us tawfiq to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.